Corbett, can you settle down? Thank you, members. I'm noting Member Mishwane has a tough time. I think all of you that is involved with more than one committee is struggling. My own approach is that we'll play it with that level of sensitivity. We do know that there will be challenges in that regard. And I've picked up that a lot of the members in this committee is quite active in other committees as well, and hence that level of sensitivity. But thanks for prioritizing the higher education and training. We do have apologies, both from Member Kubai, that last night was still in Cape Town and then was instructed by a party to go to the he did put a letter in that regard. Also, our new member Snell, he is very hopeful that he will still make this meeting in terms of time. Because he flew in this morning, flying in, and then he will come straight here. That is. Is there any other apology? Okay, and he's off sick. It's Charles now. It's Charles for now. He's off sick. Essentially, we then have, and then I think, Member Mishwane, you have to leave to another committee.
No, I slowly decided to leave.
Yeah.
But for 2 minutes, I need to be.
Yeah.
To leave to Member
Mishwane. Okay.
It's also another challenge.
Okay. So you must just quickly. She must just quickly leave. She has now, in fact, gone to the committee whilst we were sitting here, explaining that she's going to prioritize this one. Mm-hmm. Today, so if you need to quickly slip out and come back, it's fine. Yeah, now we will be finished by then. Look, I think what we are saying is we are going to request the parties to be tentative, but I don't think it's a unique problem. Members that are in other committees, do you find this type of reality? I think the nice thing is that we didn't have a problem yet with the quorum. We didn't. We were able to have all our meetings. So, but is this a general problem that people are experiencing?
Just in my instance, I also sit on the Science and Technology Committee and the International. But my party is attracting this
meeting. Okay. So. Yeah. So that's the reality. I think it's. Somehow it seems to me Parliament is a madhouse in that space. A lot of committees meetings happening on the same time. Member Lachetron.
Thank you. My name is Honorable Member. I'm sorry to be late. I also serve in Parliament. And next week, we will be visiting other provinces. And that is also a challenge. But I told them that this is my full time problem.
If I could just explain as well, it's just that I've now sent a letter of resignation for human settlements. Is it possible to do three committees on one day?
No, not that yet.
But health, of course, is important for our party, but I will try to get to this committee first every Wednesday and go to health at 10.
Can we just forward that attendance register with everybody? And let's then move on. I think we've clarified we will play it by ear, but we are asking members to prioritize and to request the parties to be sensitive to that. There are two minute items, if I'm correct. The one was on the 18th of August. Did you receive that one? And then it was sent out to the members? Okay. And then it was the one on the 19th. Those are the two on them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just give the copies of the minutes, please. One of the 18th and the one of the 19th. I think the first one was literally, if you can recall, we had a NSPOT discussion and joint report. That was submitted, am I right, to the ACC?
Yes.
So we've done that, and we hope that that will be debated in Parliament. Secondly, this, therefore, is just the adoption of the discussions that we had on the... This was only our committee, am I right? With basic education. But if you can... But there was a whole package of a report. Remember that one. That's admissible already. Remember when we've met the Joint Committee on Basic Education and Higher Education? Yeah, but the report, that I'm talking about the full report with that one, that's already submitted.
Yeah, so
I just wanted to make sure that, you know, this is just, it was a particular recording of that A meeting. And at that time, can we accept that one? We were there very short.
I didn't want to play editorial, but there are some major ones on page 2.
Yeah.
The first sentence doesn't make any sense. It should read, the committee agreed on the status of the draft report and agreed that the visit was an important contribution to understanding the operating environment of NSF. So I can just give that to you. The second bullet point, it was said that the report would be forwarded to NSF for consideration, full stop. New sentence, it would be very important for the committee to follow up on the recommendations made in the report. And the third bullet point, it was further agreed that the committee needs a more action-oriented approach for oversight visits and that reports be prepared in such a way that the key issues may be more effectively monitored and evaluated. I recall you saying that. Okay. So those are my comments. I've got it here, so I can just give it to Larry.
Very important. In fact, you would recall in the last meeting we had a difference on one of the items that Anile, the secretary, was able to put together. And when we actually went back, there was a distinct difference in emphasis, the way it was presented in the draft, in that other draft, and the way, for example, we finalized. In fact, it didn't relate to the university, it related to the school. So it is important to reflect diligently on these minutes. The second one was on the 19th of August. I think we were in this room. And that's a reflection on BBSA input. And is there anything on page 1? There is? Yeah.
The staff will have the sentence. that person called the meeting into order and explained that the purpose of the meeting was to obtain a deeper insight, blah, blah, blah. The chairperson called the meeting in order to obtain a deeper insight.
Yeah, a deeper insight into that. Yeah.
Yes, Chair, I have some issues. This is Block. His first name is spelled G-R-A-E-M. Not Graham. My second point is in the second paragraph, third line, where it says the major reason for low participation of black members is financial constraints. That's just not true. That was not, that's not a proper reflection of what was said. You can please just check on that. Those are my two comments on page two.
Non-financial issues.
Right. So, and just Chairman, it was student performance. Student performance and financial constraints,
yeah.
That would be more accurate.
Would you be comfortable on that? Just the financial and the student performance. That's where no concentration comes from. I think it reflects the discussion. Page 3. Now, under 4, bullet point 3 there, the last, and that education has to be a stakeholder in a society for living in the system. The committee was further informed that the culture of teaching and learning, public schools before and then that, the point was really that the strategic engagement, education becoming a very critical focus for stakeholder engagement. I think that's what we did at point. And not, would you be comfortable with that?
Yes.
It was the point about education, if you can remember Mr. Block raising the issue about the country starting to talk about education. So that was the point. And that we must continue that as, for example, I think on Monday evening there was this debate at UWC. CSA and the MEC for Education in the Western Centre. So that point really is that education has to be a critical focus to engagement in our broader society. And then, under conclusion, I'm noting that point, but I thought, if you look at the second paragraph on the conclusion, the BBSA promised to strengthen its relationship with Parliament, and it further promised to provide the committee with a roadmap. That was not what was said. What we've agreed upon was one, that we will, that as a committee, we will continue the engagement around taking the debate into the broader society, that on education, right? That's one. But secondly, in fact, the point was the committee in partnership with DBSA to initiate a process on a roadmap for student development. If you can remember that point. In fact, DBSA requested us to see if we do not want to look at into that. And therefore, it will not be our primary responsibility, but we will initiate a process where we can get the relevant individuals around the table to continue that engagement. So it's really the initiation of the process. Would you be comfortable with that? Okay. Remember, I put it forward, proposal, adoption, with a recommendation. Can we cut this?
Yep.
Yes. Could the, then you've got the items on the agenda. Was one, this committee now, we suddenly debated in this part. I think that's where we are. We had our briefing session. What we now need to do is to have a bit of a talk with clear recommendations of what we want to take forward. very practical. Both to obviously recommendations that we can put forward to the Parliament, to the government on NS Fund. Secondly, the recognition for entire learning of the ALS. Now, I hope you can receive those documents, the ALS documents, as well as the unregistered College of Learning. I hope you've received those two documents. Did you? Now the one on dealing with unscrupulous providers of education and training, that's that doc. The other one was the document on recognition of prior learning. Those are the two documents. Now what I would want to suggest is if we are able to just deal with those two issues and have a little bit of the discussion of how do we want to take this forward. Meaning we will not get into all the technicalities of it, especially if some members were not yet able to, because of the busy schedule, actually go through this. And then we'll spend some time just on the NS Fund. And I hope to be that we'll be able to be out here over the next 50 minutes. So if members are comfortable, that is the direction that I would want. Because for now, I think, is it member Vukuza asked the question, at what point are we then debating internal some of the issues? You remember in the last meeting you said, we've now received certain briefings. I did indicate this will be the platform where we will just reflect and see how we're able to take certain things without having presentations, debate some of that, and that the focus will be on NS Plus discussions and how do we take it forward. But just before we get there, how does members suggest we take both the RPL as well as the unscrupulous providers discussion forward into the future? Member?
I think I mean the one that relates to RPL. It's funding. It's funding, but it's a mandate that is not funded by law. And it was difficult to take it up. Although I don't remember us getting the actual challenge in terms of costing, to saying what are we looking at. But obviously you can't suggest a program or an area of work that is not funded. You can't expect people to account on what is the progress that has been registered in that area when we did not even give them the means to achieve that. So for us to be able in the next financial year to even want people to come and account before us as to what happened, we may need to ensure that that funding is available. Whether it will be by way of redirecting some of the resources from some projects now into that, or it should entirely be provided for in the next financial year. I think that's what we can be able to push ourselves. Thanks.
Okay. So I think that's a suggestion. Anything else? Seems to me members were not able yet to go through this, am I right? And it's fine. If we were not, then we can just, so that we don't try and go through it now. For me, it is really, how do we suggest we then take it forward? I think that's it.
Just to affirm that the point that's been raised by the member about it being an unfunded mandate, it clearly the thing that needs clarification in order to take this forward. But there's no disagreement over the importance of having this.
So, members, can we then suggest that in one of the, I think over the next month, we will be meeting the department, am I right? At some stage, we are meeting them. And can we then highlight this issue as a critical and try and ask them to be prepared? Because it seems to me the perspective, if I can recall the last discussion, was that RPL is important, that there is essentially a mandate given without appropriate funding given to it. That in order for us, before we jump the gun, that it would be good if we are able to make certain suggestions for the next financial year. So we will include this in the discussion with the education department. Also the issue of unscrupulous providers, you'd remember the debate was that there are a lot of our quality of education, there is concerns. Generally we are getting access, but the quality is a problem. And a lot of the providers that we are seeing, private sector providers, and the question is, what is the monitoring, what is the performance analysis on it, and are they actually getting people into education, but not necessarily with appropriate certification? The type of fly-by-night questions. You then requested in that committee SACWA to provide some form of detail, which they then did. They've given some information about the de-accreditation and the processes of appeal. It seems to me also this would be something to be taken up with the department, unless you've got other suggestions.
Thank you, Chairman. They had already left when I wanted to ask this question. To say, with regards to unscrupulous service providers, besides monitoring, shutting them down, disaccrediting, and undoing everything else, what need are they serving? I mean, why are they there, and why do people go there? To such an extent that those considerations affected even the mainstream education. The fact that they are, they will always be there. But what is it that attracts people to there? What is it? Is it the offering? Is it the access? Is it the throughput, the input, the output? What exactly makes those two? I mean, they will always be there, but what lessons are they for us in the mainstream education?
Just to add on to that, obviously, apart from what lessons are there to us, is there something we should be doing to assist them to provide the service so that whatever they're doing right stays there and that we add to that rather than just pull down?
The other issue which, when legalizing the more of a difference another, but I thought there was a question as to exactly whose role is that. Because in as much as it's clear who does this, who does that, but there seems to be no one who's acting against them. Now, if you ask these questions, they will give you some answers, but each one of them will want to shy away from taking it as their own responsibility. We did ask a question there as to whether there's ever acted against anyone, and you'll find that people will be dodgy and so on and so on. So I thought it would mainly to clarify that, so that at some point it's known as that when you say you will take legal action, within your own scope or what it is.
Shall we then put those questions as also forward, as we will be asking the department to come and present a thorough perspective. So I'm hearing the committee saying not only around that type of providers, but just generally the providers, because not all of them are unscrupulous. And therefore, what is those lessons learned, and why would people misbehave? But it is an issue, a very serious concern for me, the fact that there are service providers. I know that somewhere in Worcester, there's a college where people pay, meaning they don't get public, they don't get support from the state, and then they are getting into that system, they are getting training, but a few years ago I realized that that's not necessary, accredited training, and that's been the problem. So the parents pay 5,000, 6,000, 10,000, 20,000 for computer courses. People go and recruit people everywhere in the Eastern Cape and in the Northern Cape and the Western Cape. However, the outcome then is a problem. Now, the parent doesn't know that, because the parent sees, and many a time, for example, working class communities, the parent sees the fact that that child is going to at least to training. Couldn't go into higher education, but at least go into some form of training, and then it really doesn't mean. So you're sitting with a lot of people that walks around with a certificate, but it's not necessarily accredited certification. I think that's the problem, and that is what we are trying to do. Shall we then move on and just deal with the very last? So we are saying that we are calling the department to speak on, amongst other things, also these two issues. We are also asking them the transitional arrangement as we are moving now from, you would recall all the seats are falling, are moving 1st of November to higher education and training, understanding that really from the 1st of April only, there will be a new functional department with a budget, with an accounting officer, because currently the accounting officer is still, even though there's a new DG, the accounting officer will still be the Director General for Basic Education, which was the DG of the old department. So we also would want to get a proper assessment of that restructuring process and the unintended consequences as we are moving forward. Dr. J.
I agree with you that since we must exercise oversight over the executive, it's right to have the department tell us about that. But for our own intellectual edification, I would suggest that at least some of us read what I think is the best overview of private education providers in the country, which is a report done by the, I seem to recall, by the Human Sciences Research Council. And so just to ask Olive Shoshana or somebody at the HCRC to let us have that information. I've certainly read a report on private providers when it comes to schools. And there's probably a report on private providers when it comes to higher level learning as well. Dameron College is one, but the entire college structure.
Member Macabella.
There's also one task that remains, the establishment of the Quality Council on Trade and Occupation. And it's like it's an area which has not been facilitated.
Also to get a reflection from the department in our decision. Let's continue then and deal with the last item, which really would reflect on the NSFAS. I think really it's a question, it's a discussion here. We've now received our presentation. We know what is the problem statement. Problem statement specifically relates to the access of students at the level of the finances. We've broadened the debate. We talked about the non-financial issues as well. That becomes critically important. And there is a review process taking place by the department. That will end in December. I think, remember, Dr. James, you did raise that issue, request around if the time will be sufficient. You've made that point, I think, in the National Assembly at some stage. But for now, there is that deadline. And in what way, and we are seeing January is coming, we've started to see already some of the pressures from universities or on universities from students. As a portfolio committee, did we not do enough to raise the debate and ask for consideration? Is there any further suggestions? For example, there was a debate around the interest that's being charged. Do we have a common perspective in this room around whether we're saying we're comfortable that interest must continue, or whether we are saying there needs to be some form of flat rating. That's the one area. I think also we talked about the throughput and the numbers and how do you get essentially more quality out of that. There was a debate on should we allow NSFAS just to do what they are doing and just to make sure that finances go out and those other elements needs to be somewhere else. Or is it proper to raise it in the context of NSFAS. So those are, I did ask a question in the House as well related to this matter for today. because I know how government works. It's the moment that review report is going through the system. If the executive, for example, approve it, it's then being implemented, because we obviously look at the broad framework and the legislative oversight on that. And somehow is there practical suggestions that people want us to, as a committee, to make sure, or are we comfortable that we've completed that event? Because after this meeting, obviously, we will not, you'd recall that from end of July, the whole of August, we actually decided, it was part of our planning, that we will position the debate on student finances into the center. And I also do know that we did not yet meet the students, if some of us can recall that. We've now met High Education South Africa. We've met NSFA. We wanted to meet the student body. And I think in the last meeting we've requested that we should even get just a report of what they are suggesting. I'm raising it for the discussion and even practical suggestions. But after today, I in a sense want to park and not necessarily get into the initial debate as we've gone over the last few weeks.
I wasn't sure because wasn't able to accompany you on the one trip, but my thought was, would there be any value in us having a sort of hearing of sorts where every higher education institution student body were asked if they want to make submissions around this, and then we discuss in terms of those submissions, whether it has to be physical or whether it's written submissions. I'm just wondering if it's better to reach broadly and get the feedback than if we just do a little hit and miss here and there.
We've done that process. We in fact started off with visiting NSFAS offices once. We then had a debate around that. In fact, then it was a joint visit. We subsequent to that moved to a meeting with the Higher Education South Africa, where we asked the question, and NSFAS was there, as well as the Department of Education. We've actually asked the question around what is wrong in the system to strengthen accessibility. For example, I know that in 2010, the number of entrants must be 800,000, roughly 800,000, yeah, and in 2014, we've gone through that debate. I think we are now at the point of, we, as a committee, we had a joint report session. We're now going to put our final stamp on some of those suggestions that we've seen being brainstormed in some of these meetings. And this is just really a clearing out for that. Unless the member feels that we did not need enough, we didn't expand enough by inviting more people, etc.
Just to clarify, I was referring specifically to students and student bodies. And I didn't.
Okay,
it wasn't obvious to me if we had really heard from the
students. Member Mishwana?
Thank you, Chepika. I'm trying to locate the debate within the document in front of me in vain, but I heard what you said about what is the committee saying about NSFS. Should they continue? And NSFS should definitely not continue to use the way they choose to do that. I think that's what I remember in the meetings that I attended fully. But then I think it will make a lot of sense for us to meet the other companies, the students, right? Because perhaps the law nothing about us without us should apply. We might be having very good intentions if we talk and think for them, but the fact that we have a student body out there, perhaps we need to meet with them. Are they going to have decided that they need to change the interest? If some of the things that I remember are too high, and maybe there is a for us to, because we have gone there, we have met them, to meet the very important components of this. Thank you.
So we are hearing that it's important that actually even after we've invited them and they were not able to come on that particular day, we are going to have a special session with students, with a broad student section. Member Pachwani?
Just a question.
should say that we did receive a report summarizing what transpired between the meeting between the committee and the MFI's office. But the meeting with HESA can get the summary of that proceeding as well. Bearing in mind what you said, and our some of us at the society because we serve in many other committees, so that we don't repeat ourselves and perhaps expand it on what transpired.
I think, members, if you can remember, in the last, one of our last meetings, we in fact had the report. We in fact went through the minutes of the meeting with HESA. Can I just ask a question also? Even if members are not here, normally it goes to every member. So just to indicate, we actually had that process. Is there any wisdom that we can draw from our elders?
No, I think it will be a good idea to meet the student body, but remember that they are a transient group. Interactions in the past have had a situation where some group would say it is okay, for example, that they shouldn't be given a full scholarship, shouldn't be 100%. But the subsequent group will say, no, we feel that the amount that is given now should be spread to cover everyone. And others have said that they should be free education and higher education institutions. So we should remember that. But I think it's important to meet them. But we should remember that it changes. So what you agree with them now does not mean that it will hold 2 years, 3 years down the line. Even the others move on, but not as rapidly as the student body does.
Thanks, Member Mangena.
I also agree that we should meet with the students, but if you just think about for a second, students right now face essentially two options, NSFAS when it comes to university funding, NSFAS and bank loans. There is an initiative to provide a student bank, and you'll see there's a question on the order paper for this afternoon dealing with that, which is a private thing, commercial arrangement. There's also a model whereby you can provide tax rebates to parents as an incentive if they put their kids through university and so on. So there's from the student's point of view, what they want is a maximum number of options, in fact. That's their interest. And NSF is one of those options. And what we've discussed is to calibrate the threshold differently so that the coverage is better. That was the one issue. And the other issue that you must not forget is that there was a real point about making sure that we communicate the existence of NSF to all people in South Africa, including in rural areas. That was really important. So I think it would be very good to hear from the students, to hear what their views are. But the model, essentially, that they would be responding to, and we can make inquiries before the time about how the different models could work, is to maximize the platform availability to them.
Thanks, Jefferson. I heard you very clearly when you said what we do with the interest is it continue or not. I think this has been debated amongst us here. And really, the interest disadvantage our community. Many people, the dropouts particularly, funded by NSFAS. Others are no more. Unemployment is very, very high. by the time they get employment because of that interest, the funds would have gone very, very high. So I am of the opinion that we cannot leave that to continue. That is my proposal. Thank you.
Okay, for now, I think I'm hearing that you're not saying that people shouldn't pay back for now, but at least there would be a problem with the subsidy interest. I think there was also something in the trust that clarified that if people, for example, do not have work, that they are not necessarily going on a blacklist. But that was an issue for the committee, if I can remember.
I'm sorry, I can't answer one message from the question. I don't know if the question of administration of MFI itself was discussed at various universities, because there seems to be discrepancies or inequalities in the way it is administered. Accompanied by some, I don't know to qualify these biases, but you'll find that in some universities there will be some biases that the people administering the scheme itself, I don't know whether that was discussed or not, to bring about this uniformity.
I think it's important that we've seen that problem, and I think it's important that you were making a suggestion to say we are calling for a uniform institutional system between the head office and those various offices based at the student financial offices based at universities. I think let's take that very practically forward. Can I just indicate then that we are saying that we will meet the student bodies, taking into account the issues that were raised. That's what I'm hearing, one. Two, that we broadly agree with the synopsis that we made up till now, and the reason why there is no documentation on the issue in front of you, we had all this documentation up till now, and we decided we'll have a brainstorm just to understand. Is there any final input that we need to make into that? You would recall we had a joint report where we identified certain of the problems and made recommendations. So we don't want to rehash that discussion. So we continue with that. I think the issue around the various options for students, the categorization, you would remember the criteria goes to, is it 120,000? That's it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And people that fall under that bracket would be able to benefit. But the moment that you get 150,000, 180,000 annually, if you actually go to it, the working class family and all the pressures within that family, it's very difficult for that family to sustain a young person at university. And the debate in this committee, and I would assume it was it's a collective on that, that we are saying that threshold must be pulled, and we need to look at. I think we're comfortable with, because it's a strategic issue that we are introducing, that it will not be good enough for a review committee to go and say the threshold will remain the same and we're just looking at various options. We are saying we must push that boundary. I think that's what we're referring to. We've got an opinion. We didn't yet finalize all the details, but we've got a bias towards the not to have, for example, the type of interest hike that we see. But we are having a bias, and we'll be putting that forward, and we'll see what comes out of that. Then I think the point around the communication. I want to suggest, members, that we actually identify the three provinces. Not in this meeting, but we ask the department the lowest where the lowest input comes from, and the three poorest provinces that we actually, meaning that we don't leave it general and say that they must in fact go and speak again and strengthen their communication, but at least that there is a program that can come to us about how do they expand their communication and awareness around NSFAS industry, poorest provinces. It also is tackling the issue of Mpumalanga and a few other areas. So that, and then the relational question around, or the institutional, the systems issue, the support between head office and that various offices. A, on systems, it is fragmented, and even on, for example, the way they recommend students for bursary loans. Can we summarize it in I think the top slicing, I think we had agreement on the top slicing issue as well, that it's just not right to give a 10,000 there, a 15,000 there, a 20,000 there, and assume we are increasing the quality of education, because literally after that 15,000, that student must leave university. And that then talks to the dropout. So we do not agree that we are seeing expansion on top slicing, and that needs to be curtailed. Comfortable if I summarize that point as well, because it's all strategic. That's a strategic challenge, because obviously it talks about numbers, it talks about all those other issues. Members of our, what we'll do, yeah, I'm noting two hands in fact, Member Mangena and Member Makubela.
I think others have covered me well. Just one that was raised by higher education South Africa, that they've got a problem with the period between January and March or something like that. And I don't remember it clarified very well, although we had a different view, that they can't complain, that they only get approval to the assistant financial aid later on, when in fact they are expected to admit students earlier. We thought the planning should decide that they should know, even before they start admitting people, that how much are they going to receive. I will meet the department head if that could be clarified. That's exactly what happened. So that if that period is a problem, we see how it could be sorted.
I'm just wondering, Chair, whether it might not be useful to get the Directors General or Superintendents of Education in the provinces that you have identified as the least aware, to get them to come on board and help in popularizing the internet fund. I remember some time back the information was put on the examination timetable. But by that time, it's late. I mean, every candidate will get an examination timetable. There will be that information there. But I'm wondering if it has worked, or whether there are other ways in which they could find a way of reaching every learner from grade 10, say, upwards. They might be able to help us, as opposed to the NEC. Maybe that is the I don't know if we are able to call those or go to the education.
I think it's a very important one. One of the chairs is we had a debate. In fact, there was a debate in our workshop around would we be able to invite provinces, etc. And technically, yes, I was biased that we do it via the NCOP process. But technically, we would be able to engage because I think offline use all the races. I'm quite flexible, actually. I'll be much more rigid on those things. I want to suggest, taking that into account, that we in fact have, as part of one of our next meetings, where we'll get a report on that, even if it is when we meet the students, but at least then we'll also have an hour and a half, that we in fact ask the NCOP committee, between ourselves and the NCOP committee, and then the NCOP committee also, that we then invite those three particular provinces. There is a call both in NCOP and in National Assembly for greater cooperation. In fact, the committee one of the legacy reports that we've seen from this committee, which was then Committee of Education and not Higher Education and Space separately, was that over the last 5 years there was no engagement between this committee and the NCOP in a structured way. And hence, I think it is a strategic moment now, because we are introducing the implications on what we are debating from a broad perspective down into particular provinces. And if you're comfortable with the suggestion that in that meeting, when we are bringing the students, that we are inviting the NCOP committee, and then even invite that particular province, would you be comfortable with that? I'm just seeing how we can actually take forward. That it, members? Okay. And with that, then, we want to thank you. I must say that the Stellenbosch University, you'd recall we would have gone to the university. There is transformation issues and we need to get into that. There's language issues and we need constant oversight with it. They requested us to postpone. I gladly oblige, and you know, we can actually just say that it must happen. But now we've now got another letter that in October that it's going to be difficult, so we'll now basically give them a date and they'll have to comply. So if you are being called from the different political parties to the different political parties that we are now in fact instructing for this visit to happen, we've delayed, we've requested delay, we've done all of that over the last month, and we believe now it is, we're running out of patience for the university to get ready.
Is that an indication of something that we should be concerned about?
Yes, Maria, that's an open question, I'm not sure. I'm concerned the fact that, because if you can remember, members, the end of July draft report, we had a date that was communicated via the secretary. We then got letters back, we got requests, they're not ready, etc. I initially felt comfortable that, look, it's an institution, it's always difficult to align diaries. We're very generous, but I saw yesterday a letter that, in fact, indicated they can only see us for 2.5 hours or such, so I said, no, I can't. So I will be calling the rector, and then we will be initiating a process with the day. I thought to bring that under attention, and I'm not so sure if it's to do with it. Okay, thank you, members. The one that we've asked to...
It's an Africa City Leadership Conference. They've indicated, it seems to me telephonically to my office, that the reason, because we've also solved that, because it is not necessary. But it's related to some of the challenges that I'm supposed to feel in that level, and that's the issue that we need to solve, that it is then the way children supply issues, demand and supply issues. And then their prior intervention at the university level. So there was that broad informal discussion. But if you are interested, please let Irene know, because I don't know.